The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. Okay, in today's program, we've got Brandi Giott, and she is the community activist, overall gadfly, whose heart and soul are always aimed at a better Pasco. And so I welcome Brandi to our podcast, and as I have kind of mentioned to you, we thought we'd talk about maybe New Year's resolutions for Pasco County Board of County Commissioners and Administrators and anything else you'd really like to talk about. So I'll turn it over to you for a moment.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for having me. And as you know, it's Goyette. Everybody says it wrong. It's okay. So my resolution is that everyone will be able to say my name right one of these days. But what's going on in the county, in case everybody hasn't noticed, it's build still. There's the Newport Corners, which is, I think, what they're calling it, that's going on up. It's almost 4,000 homes and businesses, like more retail space, that they're going to put going all the way up Plath Road, shooting down Little Road, taking down all of those trees that we always see, and going all the way up to Massachusetts. And it's a Lennar build. They haven't said what wastewater treatment facility they're going to tie this into, in case you've been paying attention to what's been going on the west side with all of our wastewater treatment. We've had massive wastewater dumps in all of the wastewater treatments along the west side, from Embassy Hills to Box Hollow to Newport Richey. Sometimes they'll say, well, some of the sewage was treated, that doesn't make it any better. We have a huge overflow, and as they are going along and fixing some of the water mains that are constantly breaking all along the west side, when they're replacing the old piping, because of the increase in pressure into the older pipes that have not been maintained or improved over the years, we're seeing more and more water mains breaking. So more and more people are not getting their boil water notices and are finding out after the fact that there's been a boil water advisory due to the dumping of the sewage, as well as the numerous water main breaks we're seeing along the west side. Wow. So my hope for the county is that we'll actually start doing better for the residents we have here instead of trying to bring in new residents and hoping no one notices that they can't seem to control their own poop.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
I would think there's almost a liability issue somewhere if somebody got really ill and there hadn't been an advisory, but anyway. So what
else?
Yeah,
you'd have to prove it because it falls on to that individual.
Oh, yeah.
Just
right.
Like the sinkhole homes, like when they built over the cavern
right.
Over in Hudson.
Right. What else is happening there?
All right, let's see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Everything else, as you know, redistricting is happening.
Yep.
We still don't see the state Senate or the state House maps yet. I expect some changes, especially in the Wesley Chapel area, and basically looking at that probably getting divided up and getting chopped up even more.
Hmm.
School board no longer matches county commissioner maps,
right.
Because Starkey wanted both of her residents in her district, and because of that, the school board couldn't follow the county commission's
right.
So there's going to be a lot of confusion for voters this year who won't know who their representative is,
uh-huh.
because they could have a commissioner who's in District 1, but a school board member who's in 2. And it'll be confusion because people already forget to vote and don't realize they still vote for all of these people countywide.
Right.
And
right.
It's just one way to continue to disengage and disconnect the voters.
Okay. Let's see. How about things like our roads and transportation?
Well, still seeing fatalities at a very high rate all along the county roads here in Pasco County. It would be nice for us to actually start seeing traffic enforcement to slow people down, because that's our first front line of defense when it comes to these fatalities. As much as no one wants to get pulled over by a police officer, if they're out there doing that, then they're actually preventing a lot of deaths and fatalities. We continue to see the roads closed. A lot of accidents and fatalities. We continue to see the roads closed all the time. US 19, State Road 54, parts of Ridge Road, because people are just not paying attention. They're speeding. We continue to see roads falling in disrepair, especially as those water mains start to break. Regency Park just had part of it repaved because of two water main breaks that happened back to back down along Stone Road. We still see flooding in some parts of the county, and that Newport Corners is possibly going to impact Magnolia Valley in part of that flood zone, and probably push more water over onto that development.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing a lot of planning, Cal.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a let's do it and then hope that everything is fine.
Yeah.
And that's not working well.
Yeah.
Just like the schools right now, where you hear about how so many teachers are out with COVID. One of the schools that I had to go into said that they had 14 more teachers out today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they're keeping their doors open. Because
right.
If you have to keep calling in substitutes or pulling front desk workers off the desk just to go cover a class,
mm-hmm.
it's not working.
And
something's going to break.
What's your attitude towards masks?
Towards masks? Oh, I wear them. My daughter wears them. We're both vaccinated, mainly because we don't want to spread it. We don't want to share the germs, and it's our first line of defense. It's a barrier method, and people tell me all the time they don't work, really, because pretty sure that we've taught barrier methods in public health for years. We call them condoms. They're the first line of defense against HIV and AIDS. And when I used to work with TB patients and they had active TB, I was always masked up, and
uh-huh.
I've never contracted TB.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
any major health issues that Pasco County ought to be dealing with, you think?
Well, obviously COVID, with all of our hospitals that are currently pretty close to capacity, and some are at capacity. There's cleaning up of the water, especially along the coast over there in Hudson, making sure that we clean that up, because having fecal coliform bacterial infestation in our water that people swim in, that people play in, it's not good for the community. It continues to spread bacterial infection. We're still leading in hepatitis, and of course, we still have a huge substance use disorder problem.
Let's tackle the big issue of voting rights. What do you think ought to be done?
With which part of the voting rights?
Well, if there's any, I think we're in pretty good shape here in Pasco County in terms of Brian Corley and the job he does. But do you have any concerns at all about voting here in Pasco?
I do. My main concerns are with the vote by mail, issues with the fact that we're still seeing the issues where we passed the amendment to give felons, people who've been convicted of a felony, their right back, and still hasn't gone through. Doesn't make the media quite as much anymore,
right.
But it's still out there. And with vote by mail, the biggest concern is you have to renew it now every election. And if you don't, you could be taken off of it. And there's a lot of individuals who are homebound and rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you miss that small check mark box that's on the bottom of your ballot, you're not going to be re-enrolled.
Right.
And you're going to start to wonder, where's my ballot, and start to panic, and it becomes a problem.
Okay.
Because how are you going to get to the polls if you rely on your ballot being mailed to you?
Right. Now, let's talk about affordable housing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is not affordable here. So, as everybody knows, I live on the west side. I bought my house for $54,000, almost 9 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And the house behind me, that relatively close to size, shape of lot, everything,
mm-hmm.
just sold for $240,000.
Wow.
And that's in Embassy Hills. And that's frightening to me. And everybody else is like, oh, you could sell and get big. No. Where would I go?
Where would you go? Right.
Where would I go?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to find something where I would pay less than what I am now.
Right.
As we continue to see these rates go up, not just on mortgages and houses being snatched up by these developers
yes.
that are coming in and doing cash for homes.
Right.
But the rents are going through the roof. And I saw a listing for a rental in Holiday, and not the nice part of Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a little rundown, and it was almost like $2,000.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, who is going to pay that much for rent?
Yeah. And how are they going to pay? That's another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the things.
Because,
one of the main things I saw in a paper the other day was an article, I think it was last Sunday's paper, about a woman somewhere in Florida who was a teacher, and she had been sort of brought into that area because they thought would she be a great teacher, and they offered her a job. But she's there, and now she can't afford to live there. And that's
yep.
becoming, I think, a major problem because you need people to come in from other places to put new life into things. And, you know, whether it's the police force or firemen or teachers or what have you, if they can't afford to live here, then it's a negative thing.
Yeah, and they say you should pay one-third of your income towards your housing, you know, cost, towards your rent. And think about it, that would be someone who would have to make $6,000 a month.
Yes, yeah, right.
Just to live there.
Yeah.
I said, and what jobs are paying $6,000 a month? Just to keep up with the cost of living that's currently we're currently seeing in inflation.
Right.
When we talk about, like, you know, affordable housing, we don't have a lot of new affordable housing built. We rely on the vouchers, and our congressman still has not increased the amount of rent that go on our affordable housing choice vouchers
right.
To match the rate of inflation. So I think the last time I checked for just a one-person voucher, the rent has to be, I think it was $650.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where are you going to find that?
Right. Now, let's turn our attention for a moment to the fact that we have neighborhoods, some of which really do need to be spruced up. But what do you think the role of code compliance and the county should be in terms of neighborhoods and enforcement of rules, but at the same time, if people can't afford to do it, what should we try to do as a county, do you think?
All right. So I've had a lot of neighborhoods, like, asking certain commissioners to do neighborhood cleanups. And when I stepped in and said, all right, sign up with Keep Pasco Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
they'll provide the dumpsters and stuff, a certain commissioner all of a sudden came through with providing the date and time for one community cleanup. But at the same time, if the county can do neighborhood by neighborhood cleanups where we provide the dumpsters and gather and do like a Keep Pasco Beautiful type of thing, we're going to see less and less dumping.
Mm-hmm.
I live in one of those neighborhoods that gets stuff dumped here all the time, and where we do have several houses where there is garbage all over the lawn
mm-hmm.
because they can't afford garbage pickup.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, why not start providing those dumpsters so we stop seeing the televisions on the side of the road, so we stop seeing the mattresses on the side of the road, so we stop seeing couches? Just set a
yes.
pick a place inside of each neighborhood. Once a month, pick a neighborhood and go and do it, we're going to see less and less trash winding up in the river.
Mm-hmm.
I already participate in the coastal cleanup, and they do it every 6 months in Port Richey and in Hudson. I go to the one in Port Richey. We're pulling a lot of construction dumping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So individuals who are builders, we're pulling construction shingles, we're pulling bathroom sinks,
right.
we're pulling toilets out of the river, and these are giant commercial grade like shingles that I pulled out the other day. And everybody's like, what? I said, obviously we have people who are dumping stuff here because it's an easy place to dump, but this shouldn't be winding up in our river.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be winding up here in these bushes.
Yeah.
Part of our issue is all of this is going on. and only certain neighborhoods are getting the perks of the cleanup.
Yeah, I know one thing. It always amazes me. And each morning, for the most part, I walk from my house down to State Road 52 and back. It's roughly a mile, and I take along my trash bag and I pick up cigarette butts and cans and whatever have you. And it just amazes me. I've been doing this for quite a few years. It amazes me what people throw out. I don't understand why they do that. And, you know, it's like, you know, in certain places in the county, you can drive through and it's just like a garbage pit that you're driving through. And it's I don't know why people are like that. It's very frustrating. Let me talk about this for a moment. And that is, you as an individual have learned a lot about how our government works here in Pasco County. But what are the main ways of making, do you think, government accessible to the average person? How can we make it better?
Oh, see, now that's tough because we've got, like, most of the time they have meetings, and some of these meetings take all day long. So I've had people saying, well, they don't meet in the evening. I said, sometimes their meetings roll over into the evening. It's not like the city councils and your local city councils do meet often in the evening, accommodating, but those meetings take an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours tops.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about, like, the county commission meetings, those ones are taking 8 hours, sometimes 10. And there's no way they could do that as an evening type of meeting.
Right.
But a lot of it is start emailing them. Start calling them. I had a gentleman who'd been calling and bugging his commissioner to do something for a long time. He called me. I said, all right, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. Gave him the solution to his problem. I said, and if that doesn't work, and he goes, yeah, I said, then call your commissioner back and say, well, if you can't help me, I'm going to call Brandy and see if she can work on this, because they don't like hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like hearing that I can solve the problem.
Right.
And he let me know that what I told him worked, but he did keep it in his back pocket that next time the commissioner blows him off, because a lot of times they do. They do blow off their constituents. My statement is, keep bugging them.
Yeah.
Become that squeaky wheel. They eventually get the grease.
Yeah.
Don't let them off the hook just because they blow you off or have stood you up for multiple meetings.
Yeah.
Make it clear. Post about it on social media every time they stand you up.
I think what we need is about 10 or 15 Brandies out there these days.
That'd
be very helpful.
We do. My clone is only 8 years old, so she's not ready yet.
Okay, fine. Let's see. Now, I want to take just a few minutes to ask you this. Maybe there's something else you want to talk about, and that's just fine. Is there anything you want to that we've missed that you might want to bring up at this point?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
No.
So let me ask you this. I and a few others are working now on the platform for 2022 for our Pasco Democrats. And we've got several areas that we're dealing with, some of which we've already talked about, voting and that kind of thing, and cleaning up neighborhoods and so forth. But what do you think Pasco Democrats ought to be aiming towards in terms of the 2022 election, which is now getting closer? What should we be doing?
All right. We should be out there engaging voters now. We should have been all last year. Engaging, making sure, doing phone banking, and I know COVID makes it hard, and people are like, no, I don't want to talk to people on the phone. Well, my job that I had last year, both my jobs were calling people on the phone. Let me tell you something, people do answer the phone a lot more often than you think. You would be surprised. And because of all of that, just getting people engaged, reaching out to the voters, talking to them. And hopefully when this wave clears through of this next resurgence,
mm-hmm.
get out there and start registering voters, signing up the vote by mail. We've got municipal elections coming up here in April, beginning of April. And basically, you know, I want to see better than 200 people voting in those elections.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, one of the cities, it's not possible because there's only like almost just close of 200 registered voters in that municipality.
Yeah.
But in the other ones where we have over 1,000 registered voters and only 200 people vote, that's kind of sad.
Right, right. Very definitely. Anything else that the Democrats ought to be doing? We talk about getting to voters, registering voters, time to contact voters, and so forth. Is there anything
being
else?
Seen.
I'm sorry.
Being seen in the community.
Okay.
Basically making it known that we're here. Mm-hmm. Stop hiding. I get it. Sometimes the other side can be try to be a little intimidating and a little frightening. But at the same time, hiding from people doesn't help. I'm not afraid of who I am. I'm not afraid of the fact that I'm a Democrat. And when we hide, we make it clear, even if we're not afraid, that we are. Right. And it's time for us to get out there, wear our Democrat t-shirts, do these community cleanups, do these roadside cleanups, join Trinity Club at our, every 3 months, 6 months cleanup, because I know that one's coming up. So Trinity Democratic Club will have a roadside cleanup.
Right.
Get out there and just start showing people that we are here.
Right.
People get really excited when they have someone else they can vote, they can talk to. Mm. Someone that isn't going to bite their head off because most people don't know who their neighbor is.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to talk about politics.
Well, listen, dear, thank you so much for tonight. I appreciate it. And again, as you know, we're going to come back to you probably in about 3 months, maybe 4 months, and see where we are in some of these things, okay?
All right, perfect. Okay. Thank you, Cal.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.